that's The Who. They won't get fooled again. And what a fantastic thing. Or maybe it's a sign of change. That was Patsy asked for that one before. Yeah. Nice revolutionary political song. And I think now it's the theme tune to a CSI or something.
We really felt that the world was going to keep getting better. Uh-huh. You know, we'd grown up in an era after the Second World War where things had got better. We even knew it as young people.
Yeah.
And it was going to continue getting better and we were going to influence it and it was going to be this wonderful Eden where everybody would do everything for everyone else and we'd abolish money and everybody would be equal and...
But you, I mean, you tried about that. I mean,
we really believed it.
While The Who was playing there, you were saying, you know, part of us wanted to be sort of hippie layabouts, and we were always accused of being hippie layabouts, but you seem to be too busy to be laying
actually,
about.
Actually, we had an incredible drive.
We were always very active, so we were always involved in something. Well, I mean, we had childcare, we had the Whole Food Cooperative that we set up in Hebden Bridge.
It was the first Whole Food Cooperative in Britain.
Was it?
It was, yes. Somebody told
this
me.
Is the, this is Aurora Whole Foods, is it?
And, you know, I mean, the roots of... That led to, if within a few years, we had the Federation of Northern Whole Food Cooperatives.
Yeah, including
out of which came Suma.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
And Suma is still...
So you lit the spark on, maybe. You collectively, you and others, were sort of lit the spark that became Suma and a whole range of other things.
Lots of different people were doing the same thing.
It was the zeitgeist. We tuned into something that that other people were coming into as well.
Yeah, so you were... The present and the future.
When
you think about it now.
Not as much of the future as you would like to be, and I have to say, not as much of the future as I would like you to have been.
Yeah.
But what was coming, you were there early on.
But mainstream later. I mean, the whole conversation about the environment, about women's rights, about, you know, civil rights, all of those things later became mainstream, really.
And I mean, there may be some relatively young people compared to us listening to this. And... You know, there are things which you know because you were, as you said, you were involved in the sort of lighting the spark and starting things off, which became mainstream. Which, if you've got a radical idea, somehow you want it to become mainstream anyway.
I think, especially
in the environment.
What I'm thinking is there's a lot of people, that younger people, who won't realise that. You know, was it 1973 you were
73 I came.
And, you know, this is 3 years before Equal Pay Acts, Race Discrimination Acts, and a whole range of things.
That's right.
You know, it really was a different world.
And I do think that, you know, in the modern world where we're encouraged to despair, really, I think that's actually a political act, is not to despair. Chris and I are both diehard optimists, and that's a political act. We will not be put down.
Any radical who can come in here in the 21st century with a big smile.
Things can get better.
Sometimes when I was teaching, the students would say to me, "Oh, you were so lucky to have lived in the 60s and things." And my response is, "Yeah, we were, but things didn't just happen. We made them happen.
We fought."
And I mean, people say today, "Oh, young people are apathetic." Well, then it's not true totally. But I mean, if it were true, then you need to go out and make things happen, because that's what we did, and it led to great things.
And there's always been something. Young people have always done something, whether it's before sort of the 1970s or since the 1970s. Yeah, I'm just thinking in sort of music culture. There's not long after the dates we're talking about, we've got punk. You know, people were saying, "Oh, we're just not going along with this big business in the music industry. We'll do punk." Yeah, when they get a decade or so later, you got the rave culture well. And now the sort of like, you know, ignore the big record companies, all the MySpace stuff is like, is a sort of, young people are getting up and doing things.
That's right.
But anyway, back to your youth.
Yes.
You're saying about the holes in the walls.
Right, so what happened was, we had this terrace where everybody had their own house. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't exactly a commune, because we had our own individual space and we ran our own households.
Uh-huh.
But we did want to connect with each other, so we did connect. Chopped holes in the walls.
Literally connected.
Yeah. And what was interesting was that right in the middle of the terrace was what we called the Great Warren. It was a kind of hall with nothing there, just emptiness. And from there, you can get into all the other
you
houses.
You could go from one end of the street to the other without having to go out in the snow.
And so, okay.
So you were like basically knocking walls.
Yeah,
walls. We were knocking doorways through.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. And
I'm just wondering if one of the squatters was a structural engineer.
So sometimes the bailiff, or not a bailiff, but someone would come round, non-payment of this or the other, mm-hmm. And so the householder could nip out, go around, and
disappear.
Say, "Oh, sorry, they're out." And or a policeman might come round and be interviewing someone, and all of a sudden, out from behind a curtain would pop a dog.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, this reminds me. Viva's coming in about an hour's time. She's similar stories to tell from Liverpool.
Right. So,
as like young sort of groups of young women, young mothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. The man comes to knock on the door to collect the gas bill.
That's
and
right.
She's out the back door around to her friend's house. And, you know, then the same gas man comes and knocks on her door. So they're both out the door.
That's right.
And inevitably, the third friend's house. Yeah, yeah. They were just hiding in the kitchen when he knocked on that door.
But it also meant that we could share childcare and meals mm-hmm. with each other very easily. So
it was a communal lifestyle.
Oh, very much. It was. I think we all look back as one of the best times in our life. We didn't know it then.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, you know, you could survive on so little because everybody shared. It really worked.
Yeah.
It only did for a couple of years, but it really worked.
And mm-hmm. we baked our own bread and we cooked, whole foods, which were cheap at the time.
Yeah.
And
I have to say, we put up with some extreme discomfort
in
the name of all this. You know, people living up on the hills would be out drawing water and washing their, the women doing their washing. They wouldn't go back to that, I can tell you. You know, it seemed great at the time.
Yes, feminist principles move us on a little from that side of it. So there must have been some amazing characters about.
Yeah.
Certainly
well,
were.
I mean, one we were talking about earlier is Pete the Potter. And, I mean, I don't know how to begin to describe him. He was larger than life, and he built a pottery in one of the terraced houses, and he'd be seen kind of going around.
He had a car with no seats in.
Yeah.
And holes in the floor. That was just the car. You got into it at your peril.
And there were why you'd get into it at all.
Yeah.
I mean,
no seats at all. I mean,
there was one for him.
Oh,
you had to sit on the floor and try not to fall down the hole in the floor.
We did have MOTs at the time. I'm not sure Pete the Potter was taking a lot of notice
of
that legislation.
There were lots and loads of musicians. There were just so many talented people. Singers and guitarists and people mm-hmm. who went on to play music for the rest of their lives, really.
I know. I mean, at any time of the day, you could hear live music.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Dave Scott and Pete Jones were two real characters and who are still playing down in Cornwall.
Oh, yes. There seems to be... It's almost twinned with Cornwall in Cambridge, isn't it?
Right.
There seems to be a lot of coming and going. Similar
that's
sort
right.
of vibe.
They were a group that went down there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's local Dave Morris, who apparently was playing a lot in the late 70s, early 80s, in Hebden Bridge, and went off travelling around the world. And apparently he's now in a band called Mr. Skin. Normally play in a bar in Bikini Beach on, I think it's St. Martin, a sort of French
Dutch
island.
Very nice.
And he's at the Trades Club with his band on Saturday
night.
So they do come back.
And there were young local people who got involved and were glad to see us come. John Armstrong's one that springs mm-hmm. to mind as a local musician who then started playing with lots of incomers. There were people who were pleased to see these incomers and said, oh, thank God, there's somebody to hang out with, you know.
And it sounds very creative, musicians, potters.
Incredible. It was incredible.
And I mean, there's
artwork.
Linda Simonian, for example,
who
was very much part of our crowd. Mm. And
Linda was from
Sorby Bridge. I can remember being out camping in the crags with her and our friend Doug Phoenix. Looked up at the sky and just pointed out all the constellations.
Yeah.
And then from that moment, she decided she was going to be an astronomer. And she went back and did her A-levels and went to university and set up the Astronomy Centre.
The Earth Centre it is now.
Yeah, above Bacup.
Oh, between Bacup and Todd.
That's right. Linda set that up. She was from Sowerby Bridge. And she and I shared a house for a long time. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's only, what, 4 or 5 miles from Hebden. So
well, she moved to Hebden
local.
Bridge. As soon as we got there, she came, actually.
Yes, okay. A little bit more music now. We're playing hippie music from the late 60s and early 70s.
Bring it on.
I imagine you've heard of a guitarist called Hendrix.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Him at Isle of Wight Festival.
Did you?
3 weeks before he died.
I wasn't allowed to go. I was too young.
You were too young. Too young to... Well, you must have been mid-teens.
Yeah,
girl.
I was.
Yeah, I'm like you, Patty. I was too young. My mum and dad wouldn't let me go. I didn't even know where the Isle of Wight was. Okay, Jimi Hendrix. Here we go. Nice slow start. Liven yourself up, lad. There we go. Voodoo Child. Shh.